We're good.
We're going to look at our Bible readings, and I'm going to read six passages of Scripture this morning. Short passages, I hasten to add. The first passage comes from the Old Testament, and it's written about 600 years before Christ. It is God, through the prophet, speaking to the people of Israel and calling them back to himself. "Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." And then, moving on to the New Testament, to Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1. And Paul is describing what the Christian is, or who the Christian is, in Christ. In him, that is, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. And then later on, or it's written later on, in the book of Hebrews, this: "Their sins and lawless acts, says the writer, of God, I will remember no more." Going back to the Old Testament and following on from that theme in Hebrews, words that are written probably about 900 years to 1,000 years before Christ, in that wonderful Psalm 103, says this: "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he, God, removed our transgressions from us." And then in Micah chapter 7, and this is written about 800 years before Christ, this is Micah writing to the people of God, about God: "Who is a God like you, who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea." And finally, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, written by Paul himself: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." Now, what I want us to do today is to look at something that, in essence, is quite simple, but in practice is quite complex. I would contend that forgiveness is something that is very, very simple as far as the Bible expresses it to us, but quite complex in the way in which we understand it and relate to it. Now, this is something that someone from the congregation has asked that I preach on. This is another one of those issues that I was asked to speak about, and it's about forgiving ourselves. But before we can even talk about forgiving ourselves, we have to understand what forgiveness is and how it can affect our lives, or how it should affect our lives. And if you read those passages as they should be read, you will see that at the very heart of the Old Testament and the New Testament is a God who is willing to forgive. A God who is anxious to forgive. A God who expresses a persistent desire to forgive people. And it's not as if he classifies certain things as forgivable and other things as not forgivable. He simply expresses a desire to forgive. I think that people very often put sins into various different categories. There's the really awful ones, down to these are the quite trivial ones. But I think what we have to try and realise is that all sin to God is an offence. And that all sin to God is a pollution of his creation and goes against his will. All sin. He doesn't categorise the way that we do. All sin stains our character, stains his creation. And he comes back to us and tells us that he is willing to forgive all sin. However, we have to understand how he does that in order to see why it is so comprehensive. And to do that, we have to visit the life of Christ. We, again, as I've said before, have to take Christ with us in any journey that we take into any part of the Bible or any part of our lives. And the works of Christ are fundamental to forgiveness. If you take and try to understand what Jesus came to do, we're looking at the advent of Christ, the coming of Christ into the world, the beginning of Christ's journey as a baby, then that's something that is only ever understood in the light of why he came. What was his purpose in coming? Where was that journey to lead to? And of course that journey was ultimately to lead to the cross. And the cross of Christ is that place where we understand that something quite unique happened, something quite fundamental happened, where Jesus died for all our sin. And he took upon himself all of our guilt in order to make it possible for all of our sin to be forgiven. Now I know in some Christian quarters that's not a fashionable way to look at the works and life of Christ. But nevertheless, it's the way that the New Testament looks at the outcome of Christ's life. And therefore, God then says that this is an indicator of his desire to forgive everything in us. Because he has made it possible for everything to be forgiven. For the slate to be wiped completely clean, for forgiveness to be absolute and comprehensive and forever as far as he is concerned. So when you listen to the testimony of the Old Testament and the New Testament, there is an accord there that points conclusively to the person of Jesus Christ and the work and achievements of Jesus Christ for us. Now, which one of us did Jesus die for? Of course the answer has got to be for all of us. For absolutely all of us, because all of us need Jesus. All of us need forgiveness. All of us need the record to be put right, because it's so fundamentally wrong. And so when we're talking about self-forgiveness, we have to begin with the fact that God is willing and able to forgive us before we can even think about self-forgiveness. So, here's a sign. God says, I'm willing to forgive you. Question is, are we willing to receive and accept his forgiveness? Now, for some people, that might be easier than others. For some people, that may be very difficult, according to their personality type and according to their experience of life. Let me kind of tell you what I mean by that. Some people have, by nature, got fairly bad personalities. Right? They have, by nature, got quite a repressive disposition. And they cannot see how positive the Christian faith and gospel is. They can't quite grasp that because they think of themselves in impoverished terms. I'm not a good person. How could anybody possibly love somebody like me? And so it goes on and on and on. And the God who comes to us in Jesus Christ and says, I desire, I want to forgive you, is one that they find difficult to hear. But it's not dependent upon us whether or not we feel right and good about ourselves, whether we can be forgiven. It's dependent on something that is external to us. For example, somebody goes to court. They have been charged with something, with doing something wrong, and the court decides to show mercy. The judge decides to show mercy. That person might leave that court not feeling very good about themselves, but free. And it's irrelevant how they feel about themselves because their status is they are now free. And it's the same when it comes to the fairly negative, depressive type of person. And some of you probably fall into that category. At least 25% of you, I think, the statistic will tell us. It's irrelevant how you feel. God is willing to set you free. The second thing that some people struggle with is that they don't feel they deserve to be forgiven for whatever they've done wrong. And the thing is that I can look at all of your faces and look at you clearly and not see you because I cannot see inside you. I don't know how you feel. I don't know what's happened. I don't know what you've done. I don't know what you've thought. I don't know the complexity of your nature and your experience of life. But it may be that there are things in you that you feel are so bad that they do not deserve forgiveness. Or you struggle to receive that forgiveness. And that's a very, very perilous place to be. It's a horrible place to be. But it's a place that so many people find themselves in. And then the question is, how bad do I have to be not to be forgiven, and how good do I have to be in order to be forgiven? And God comes to us and says, it doesn't matter what you've done. And I mean that, he says, it doesn't matter what you've done, I am prepared to forgive you. Let's look at some examples of that. the criminal on the cross beside Jesus. When that criminal called out to Jesus, did Jesus say back to him, "Listen, son, you're getting what you deserve"? Or did Jesus not say something like, "This day you will be with me in paradise"? When that man called out to him for help, Jesus immediately took hold of that man's life and gave him hope. The Apostle Paul, what a wicked man he was, running around Jerusalem, Israel, and then beyond Israel into Syria, if you could, to find those Christians and eliminate them. Does that not sound familiar today? And how did Jesus deal with Saul of Tarsus? He reached out to Saul with a desire to rescue and forgive Saul. There was no sense in which Jesus wanted to kill Saul, destroy Saul, eliminate Saul. It was his deep and profound desire to forgive and rescue Saul. And he did. And the stories in the Bible are littered with wrecks who are rescued. And then you go beyond the Bible to people like John Newton, who wrote that wonderful hymn, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, what that saved such a good guy like me, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." And there was somebody who sold human beings and did worse than that. He eliminated them too. And yet God, in his grace, reached out and offered forgiveness and the addition of it to him. And so there you see it is the answer, if you like, to the person who thinks that it's not possible that they could be forgiven because of something that lingers in the past, because of something that looms large over their life, that they think is impossible for them to be forgiven for, or something that may happen to you in the future where you'll be in that situation. Always remember that there is nothing so awful that it can possibly stand outside of the forgiveness and the grace and the mercy and the love and the redemption of Jesus Christ. And so when the person who asked the question about forgiving yourself ask that question, I believe that the answer to that is that you can never forgive yourself, but that you can receive forgiveness for yourself from outside of yourself by someone who is entirely able and willing to offer it to you, irrespective of the mess that you may have made of your life or not. But finally, what is it that prevents some people from moving on and receiving forgiveness? The fact that some human beings never let them go. And there's a powerful image that challenges you and it challenges me. Are you preventing someone else from moving on and receiving forgiveness because you won't forgive them and let them go? I wonder if there's someone in your life that you keep on throwing back in their face something that they did that hurt you deeply. You expect forgiveness from God through Jesus Christ, and Jesus warned us about this. But you're not prepared to let go and forgive them. What is it Jesus said about that? You come to me and ask for your sins to be forgiven, but refuse to forgive someone else, and I will not forgive you. Maybe sometimes lack of self-forgiveness lies at the heart of something that is wrong in us. Not forgiving someone else and not letting that other person know that they're forgiven. Or being the kind of bully that keeps on referring back again and again to a fault or something in the history of your relationship with someone else where you cannot let that go. And it's poisoning and destroying you as well as that other person. That's not what God wants, because that's not how God acts, nor is it how Jesus Christ acts. And you've got to let that go. I'm telling you, you don't have an alternative. And neither do I. If you want to be healthy and you want your relationship with God to be healthy and you want your relationship with that other person to be healthy, you don't have a choice. Forgiveness. As far as God is concerned, guys, it really is quite simple. He wants to forgive. Conclusively has proved that to you through Jesus Christ. He wants you to receive forgiveness. He wants you to accept it. He wants you to live in its light and in its freedom. But he also needs you to be a forgiving person. He needs you to let go. Needs me to let go. Otherwise, you're actually holding on to something that is cancerous, lethally enters, not only destroys our relationship with another person, it destroys our relationship with God, and it destroys us too. Self-forgiveness isn't, I believe, an option. That's not what it's all about. It's about receiving the forgiveness that God so graciously offers and then releasing other people with the forgiveness that he requires of us in order that the circumstances